Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We open today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalet. We should note, as we noted at the end of our previous shiur, that we are picking up in the middle of a discussion. So for a brief recap, even though we highly advise being familiar with the actual shiur from last time, we are involved with seeking out an additional source for the concept of Isur Hanoa, for the prohibition of gaining benefit from things like Chometz, the Pesach, and Shor HaNiskal. We saw already Rebbe Avol and Chizkia addressing these issues in our previous Shiurim. And in the end of our last shiur, toward the end of Chof Gimel Amud Beis, there was a section that opened up with Yosef Ahu Merabonon. You can see, if you scan back to Chof Gimel Amud Beis, the beginning of a long point. We mentioned that there will be several attempts, and they're highlighted by way of our markings with a house marking with the point facing upwards, as attempts to offer a new moker, another moker for this point of Isur Hanoa, the prohibition of gaining benefit from these items, Chometz BePesach and Shor HaNiskal. And we saw number one at the end of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. A pasuk was cited from Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Chof Gimel, where it had said, "Kol chataser sheyuva midoma el oihel moyed l'chaper b'kodesh lo se'ochel bo'esh tisareif." So we're working right now with that pasuk. At this point, where we open up today's shiur, 5 lines from the top of Chof Dalid, you'll notice an inverted house, which represents an attempt to reject this suggestion. So we pick up now with that, 5 lines from the top, and in effect, you'll notice that we're raising this as a long question. V'hai b'kodesh bo'esh tisareif. You'll notice that this is a fragmented quote of that pasuk, when the actual pasuk, you can see back on Chof Gimel Amud Beis, where it really had said, kol chatos sheyuva midomo el oil moed l'chaper b'kodesh, and that's the word you see b'kodesh quoted in our Gemara. And then there are a couple missing words, lo se'ochel, and then the words that you see printed here, bo'esh tisareif. So that's why we have 3 dots between the word b'kodesh and bo'esh tisareif, being an abbreviated quote. So the Gemara is asking, is b'kodesh bo'esh tisareif lohochi hu da'aso? Is it coming for this? Namely, to teach the Isur Hanoa of Chometz and Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal, again, just to remind you, is an ox that is guilty of a capital offense and needs to be stoned. It is forbidden to benefit from. So is it coming to teach me that? Hi, Miboyale, Lichid Rebbe Shimon. I need Bakurish Boish Tisareif for Rebbe Shimon's halacha. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and we should note at the side we have what we call a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, where we've written Mitzvah Sreifas Kotshim Shinifsalu, the mitzvah to burn sanctified or sacrifices that became unfit, Shie Bazora, that their burning shall be in the Azora. Fahenu, Lekotchim shemichitzason hino huazora. This is a reference to kotchim that shall not leave the azora in the first place. There's another category of kotchim of sanctified or sacrifices that has a greater area, namely they're limited to Yerushalayim, but further than the azora. When they are found to be pasul, so they must be burnt within their precinct, namely within Yerushalayim. And Rashi points this out. So, mitzvah, so right now we're focusing on the mitzvah to burn sacrifices that became pasul within the Azorah. And that is the case when you're dealing with kotchim, the high level sanctity sacrifices. So Rabbi Shimon says, quotes our pasuk, Bakodesh Bo'esh Tisaref, we made al chatos, a sin offering that became pasul, shesorfin osa Bakodesh, that it must be burnt in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ein Elazu Bavad. Well, that's what I would think is I would think that it's limited to the chatos. Psule kotshe kotshim veimure kotshim kalaminayin. How about other types of high-level sanctified sacrifices and the innards of lighter-level sanctity sacrifices? Those are the emurim, those are the innards. Technically speaking, the innards of sacrifices are never eaten, but they are put on the mizbech. So the innards, even of kotshim kalim, have the din of kotshe kotshim, and that they, we're asking right now, from where do I know that they too are burnt in the azara? Talmud lomar, ba'kodesh, bo'esh, tisareif. So the pasuk comes to include all forms of kotshe kotshim. If they become posel, they shall be burnt in the azara. So we see that the pasuk is used up for that point, and it's not available to teach me the din of isur hanoa, prohibited benefit from chometz the pesach and shor haniskal. So we now the response, and the response that's forthcoming, in fact, is an alternative source for what we were originally looking for, namely the moker for Isur Hanoah. Omar Lei, this is a reference to the Hahu Meirabonon that was featured back on the lower part of Chof Gimel Omid Beis. Omar Lei, so Hahu Meirabonon, one of the rabbis, responds to Rav Shmuel Bar Nechmeni, who had raised this question. So he says as follows: Rabbi Yonason Rabuch, your rabbi, your rebbe, your teacher, Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason was the teacher of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. In fact, many places in Shas, you see Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Shmuel is quoting Rabbi Yonason. So this scholar in the Beis Medrash says to Rabbi Shmuel Nachmeni, Rabbi Yonason Rabuch, your rabbi, Rabbi Yonason, may high crawl Omar law from the following posuk, he sees a source for Isur Hanoah. And this is from Shmois, Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Daled. And it says, V'im yivoser mibsar hamiluim umin halechem ad haboker v'saraftes hanoyser bo'esh lo ye'ochel ki kodesh hu. So the Pasuk is saying that if there's leftover meat from the miluim sacrifices, and from the breads that accompany them, you shall burn the remainder in fire. Don't eat them, they are sanctified. She'en Talmud Lomar lo ye'ochel. There is no need to tell us that they shall not be eaten. After all, they're left over beyond their time. Uma Talmud Lomar lo ye'ochel. Why does the Pasuk specify that these leftover sacrifices shall not be eaten? Himeno inyan legufei, if it's not needed for itself, for the halach of not eating it, the hoksiv, for there's another Pasuk that says, v'saraftas anosor bo'esh, that when you have leftover when you have leftover korbonus, and as this very pasuk said, you shall burn it in the fire. So if you're going to burn it, obviously you're not going to eat it. So why does the pasuk say lo ye ochel? Taneu inyan, so have it referred to the shar isurim shebetorah. It's lo ye ochel is a reference to other isurim in the Torah. Ve'im eino inyan la'achila, if it's not really there to tell me about the other isurim, the other prohibited items in the Torah as far as the prohibition of eating them, because those other prohibitions found throughout the Torah already say in their context the prohibition of eating them. So what am I going to do with the lo ye'ochel that I have over here in Shmois Chof Tes Pasuk Lamed Daled? Teneu inyan le'isur hanoah. So by virtue of this mechanism that is characteristic of the oral law of Gemara, this mechanism called imeno inyan teneu leinyan, in other words, if it's not relevant to this area, apply it to another area. That application is not something that the rabbis dreamed up on their own. It's part of an oral tradition. So they understood, they had a tradition that this pasuk, Shmos Choftes, pasuk Lamed Dalid, has a phrase, lo ye ochel, from which we derive that other isurim in the Torah that are proscribed, that are restricted with regard to their eating, they are also prohibited in benefiting from them. Now, we just should mention as a side point, but I believe Rashi mentions this in the course of the sugya, that with regard to many of these sermons, we went through this in a previous shiur, that many of the other Isurim, though it says that you cannot eat them, there are special allowances that you are allowed to benefit from them. And when you get right down to it, you're really limited to Chometz v'Pesach and Shor HaNiskal, that they are prohibited in eating, and as a result of this extra source, they're also prohibited in benefiting from them. For there is no heter, there is no special allowance by those two examples. The Gemara asks, now we have a marking that we introduced in our previous shiur. This is the trapezoid or volcano shape, and we noted that this is a sort of a repeat question that will be raised in this sugya. So that when we are citing a posuk that has as part of it the need to burn the item that's featured in the posuk, so this question is raised, Ima kan sreifot, just like in this posuk, where you're dealing with the leftover korban meat, it needs to be burnt. Af kol isurin shebetor b'sreifot, you're going to say the same thing with regard to the other prohibitions in the Torah, that they also need to be burnt? Omar kro says, and the posuk answer, we answer through the posuk that that's not so. The posuk says, v'sorafto es hanoisar. It could have said, Rashi points out, v'sorafto. Since I know we're dealing with leftover meat, there was no need to repeat the word nosar, which means leftover, again in the pasuk, because the pasuk said the imi voser habosar. If there is leftover meat, why do you have to say the sarafes hanosar? You could use a pronoun, the sarafto, and you'll burn it. And I know what it's referring to. So why does the Torah use this more lengthy expression, the sarafto es hanosar? And it's for this purpose. No sar b'sreifa ve'en kol isurin shebetor b'sreifa. It's for an inference that no sar is to be burnt, but the other isurim, the other prohibited items in the Torah, do not need to be burnt. Again, we have the inverted house, and this brings into question the citation of Shmos Chof Dalet Posuk Lamed Chof Tes Posuk Lamed Dalet as a source for the Isurei Hanoah. So the Gemara asks, and the question lasts a couple of lines, V'hai lo ye ochel lohochi hu da'asa. Is this lo ye ochel Posuk for this purpose, namely to teach me about the Isurei Hanoah of Chometz and Shor HaNiskal? Hai mi boye lech Rabbi Elazar. I need it for Rebbe Lozer's teaching. The Omer Rebbe Lozer, lo yochal ki kodesh hu. Kol shebe kodesh posel, anything that is prohibited or is unfit in the realm of sacrifices, bo hakosuv litein loisase al achiloso. When the posuk says lo yeochel ki kodesh hu, it's telling me that a sacrifice that is rendered unfit, if one eats it, he is in violation of a negative command. And the natural outgrowth of that is that he would be subject to a penalty of lashing. So is it not so then that the posuk is used up for Rebbe Lozer's teaching to tell me that there is a lo sase al achiloso, and therefore I will still not know the Isur Hanoah, the source for the Isurei Hanoah that we are looking for. Rashi points out, as far as needing Lo Yeochel Ki Kodeshu to teach me the negative command, I need it for that, because had I just had Visarafto Es HaNosar Bo'esh, I would have known that that's what you're supposed to do with the leftover, but I would not have known that there is a negative command with a Malkos penalty. Therefore, I need the Lo Yeochel for that purpose. Omar Abaye. So we have to go on to seek out a source for Isurei Hanoah, for the prohibition of deriving benefit from the Isurim in the Torah, and of course we're referring to the Shor HaNiskal and the Chometz b'Pesach. So Omar Abaye, Le'olam Mikro Kamo. Here we're in effect going back to number one. We're going back to the pasuk, the first pasuk, Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Chof Gimel. This, of course, is what we had seen on the top of the page, and in effect, we introduced this at the end of Chof Gimel Amud Beis, where our number house number one appeared. And in that pasuk we saw Bakodesh Boesh Tisaref. So Abai says we're going to go back to that the epoch and switch it around as follows: the lichtov Boesh Tisaref. Let the Torah have written that the leftover meat is to be burnt. For lo boy lo se ochel, and I don't need that you shall not eat it. Matam lomer lo se ochel. Why does the Torah nevertheless say lo se ochel? Im eino inyan legufo, if it's not needed for itself, namely for the Isur Achila, the nafka le mida Rebbe Lozer, the Isur Achila is learned from that which Rebbe Lozer taught, namely lo ye ochel ki kodeshu. That's where I learn the prohibition of eating it. So what do I need the lo se ochel posuk for in Vayikra Perek Vav posuk Chof Gimel? Tineu inyan lechol isurin shebatorah. Have it referred to all other prohibited items in the Torah. Vim eino inyan la'achila, if it's not needed to teach me the prohibition of eating, because the prohibition of eating the other prohibited items are already stated, each one in its own location. Tineu inyan leisur hano. So have the lo se ochel of Perek of Vayikra Vav Pasuk of Gimel referred to what we're looking for, the isur hano. The Gemara asks, well, ima kan bisreifa, if just like over here in this pasuk, pasuk chaf gimel, it says boesh tisareif af kol isurin shebetorah bisreifa, so too are you going to say the other prohibited items must be destroyed through burning? That's not so. Therefore, omar kro ha noisar, the pasuk has said the emphasis was placed on nosar, and we learn from the pasuk that emphasizes nosar ha nosar b'sreifa v'lo v'ein kol isurin shebetorah b'sreifa. It would appear that this pasuk ha nosar is a reference to Vayikra Zayin pasuk Yud Zayin, at the end of which it says, or that pasuk says, "Vanosim sahazovach bayom ashlishi boeishi soreif." So the Torah emphasizes sreif on the context of leftover korban meat. Hanosar b'sreif of the enkol isurim shebatorah b'sreif, but the other isurim of the Torah, though they are prohibited and prohibited even benefiting from them, they need not to be burnt. Omar le Rav Papa la Abaye. And an inverted house indicates an attempt to challenge our mokar number three. So Rav Papa asks Abai v'emo liyichudi le lav legufe hu da'asa. Maybe the posuk perik vayukra vav posuk of gimel, in which it says lo se ochel, is coming to tell me that there is a lav. That's to specify a lav for the halacha itself, for the eating of a korban chatos, whose a korban chatos is a sin offering, whose blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the outside mizbeach, and the pasuk had spoken about the forbidden bringing of the blood into the heichal. And in the event that the chatos blood was brought into the heichal, it renders the korban unfit. And is it maybe the lo se'ochel is simply here to tell me that there is a lav upon for eating that kind of chatos? De'i mida Rebbe Elazar, if you were going to rely on Rebbe Elazar, well, you notice his name was underlined, and we have a star that you can use to navigate and refer above to where Rebbe Elazar's din was. If you are going to rely on Rebbe Elazar's din of the source for the lav, that will not be sufficient, because from that pasuk, I won't be able to derive that there is to be lashing, because ein loikin alav shebichlolos. Psukim that are presented in a general fashion, where the above in Rebbe Lozer's din, he said kol shebikodesh pasuk, any kind of sacrifice that's rendered unfit, so there is a lav. But that's very general, and as such, it doesn't serve as a source for lashing. Therefore, I will need the lo se'ocheil of Vayikra Vav Perek Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Chav Gimel, where it says lo se'ocheil, to teach me that there is a lav. So if that be the case, I don't have lo se'ochel as a source for isurei hano, for the prohibition of benefiting from those other isurim. Elo omar rav papa. Number four. Mehocha, from the following. We will have a source for the isur hano from the other isurim in the Torah, more specifically chometz, the Pesach, and shor haniskal. And notice, this is a long answer. Rav Papa says, mehocha, from the following pasuk, vayikra perek zayin, pasuk yud tes. It says, vahabosor asher giga b'chol tomei, lo yeochel, bo'esh yisoreif. She'ein tamud lomar lo ye'ocheil. There is no need for the Torah to spell out the prohibition of eating it. Ma tamud lomar lo ye'ocheil. Why does the Torah spell out the prohibition of eating korban meat that came into contact with tumah? Im eino inyan legufo. And now, we skip the brackets. This helps very much in the reading. Use the bracket length indicator. And we've read, Imeinu inyan legufo teneu inyan l'chol isurim shebetorah. Isn't that beautiful how smoothly the Gemara reads? Because this is exactly what we're looking for. In other words, if the lo ye'ochel is not needed for eating sacrificial meat that came into contact with tumah, because that is learned from another source, and that will be dealt with in the brackets, so apply it to neil inyan lechol yisurim b'torah v'imein o inyan le'achila. And if you don't really need it for the prohibition of eating those other isurim in the Torah, because they have their prohibition of eating each one in its own location, so teneu inyan lehano, have it referred to the prohibition of even benefiting from it. Now, after we did this little skipping exercise, we have to go back over the Gemara, including the brackets. But as far as seeing very clearly what Rav Papa intended, we accomplished that by the skipping method of reading. So now let's go back to what the Gemara was saying, that, and namely that the lo ye'ochel, which we dashed underlined in that pasuk, vayikra zayin, pasuk yutes, we said, I don't need it lugufo to tell me, I don't need it to tell me the prohibition of eating meat that came into contact with tumah. And we read the brackets, daha nafka le mikal v'chomer mimaiser hakal. I understand there's an isser of eating kochim betumah from the prohibition of eating maiser sheni betumah. As follows. Here's the Kal v'chomer. Uma Meiser HaKal, mind you, Meiser, which is a light level, area of Halacha. Omro Torah, the Torah says, Lo bi'arti mimenu betome. I didn't destroy it, betome, notice, I didn't cause the Meiser Sheni to become tome. Bosar Kodesh Chomur, the meat of sacrifices, which is a stricter realm of halacha, lo kol shekein, all the more so, I have to be careful with it from allowing it to become tomei and then eating it. If, once again, if I can't eat my sersheni in a state of tumah, I certainly can't eat the more severe area of halacha, the meat of korbanos, of sacrificial meat in a state of tumah. The chitema, you might want to say, well, that's you can't use logic like that, because there's a principle, ein mazhirin min hadin. To explain that, instead of translating, it means that you cannot come to halachic conclusions with regard to punishments through din. Din means kal v'chomer logic. Well, we just used kal v'chomer logic. But if you want to come out to the iser of achilas kodshim tameim through meiser sheni, that is not legitimate because it violates the rule of ein mazir min adin. So, well, we have news for you. Hekeshahu, the limud, the comparison of meiser sheni to kodshim, is not a function of kal v'chomer logic, but rather it's because they are taught together in the same posuk. Dichtiv. The following posuk, it's a long posuk, it says, Lo sucha lecho b'sherecha, you cannot eat in your own domain, meiser d'goncha tirosh v'tzarecha, v'v'choros b'korcha, v'tzoncha, v'chol nidorecha sher tidor, v'nidvosecha, etc. So the in this pasuk there is already a comparison between meiser, which you can see is referred to, and korbanos, which are referred to in the hemshich of the pasuk, where it says v'chol nidorecha shetidor. So they're compared one to another. So if I know that meiser cannot be eaten in a state of tumah, certainly, or by the same token, korbanos cannot be eaten in a state of tumah. Therefore, ma tamud lomer lo ye ochel. What do I need the lo ye ochel posuk for in Vayikra Perek Zion posuk Yud Tes? Im eino inyan lagufo, if I don't really need it for itself, because as we just said, we learned it from Meiser Sheni, Teneu inyan lechol isurin shebatorah. Apply it to all other prohibited items in the Torah that you cannot eat them. Im eino inyan lachila, if it's not really necessary to teach me the prohibition of eating, because each one of those other eating isurim are spelled out, each one in its own topic. Teneu inyan lahan, also have lo ye ochel be a source for the prohibition of benefiting. Notice once again our volcano marking. Ima kan bisrefa af kol isur shebetor bisrefa. If just like the basar kodesh became tome, the pasuk says bo'eshi soreif. Are you going to say that all other isurim in the Torah must be eliminated through burning? The Gemara says that's not so. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, just a little bit before the Pasuk we quoted, namely, we quoted above Pasuk Yutes, in Pasuk Yud Zayin it says, Hanosar. And in that Pasuk, it spells out the prohibition of, or the need to burn the Nosar. Hanosar b'sreifa, v'ein kol yisur shebetor b'sreifa. The Torah is emphasizing the need for burning when it comes to leftover sacrificial meat, but not with regard to other prohibited items. Omar le Ravino le Ravashi, v'eimo lavor alav b'shnei lavin. Why not say that this posuk of lo ye'ochel is coming to teach me an additional lav, an additional negative command, which means then for us that if one would eat meat that became tomei, he would be in violation of two lavim, and he would then be subject to two sets of lashings, each set having 39 lashes. So he'd be subject to two sets of those. In fact, then this idea for multiple sets of lashings for one act of eating has a precedent. And that's what the Gemara says. Is it not so? Mi Omar Abaye? Is it not so that Abaye says Ochal Putisa? If a person ate a putisa is an example of a sheretz hamayim, a type of creature that develops in the water. If one eats that loike arba, he's subject to four sets of malchus. And Rashi spells out the four different negative commands being referred to over here. And likewise, nemola, if one ate a nemola. Nemola in modern Hebrew is translated as an ant, but that would be an example of a sheretz ha'oretz, loke chomesh. He would be subject to five sets of lashes, five times 39. Tzira, loke shesh, if he eats a tzira, this is a winged sheretz, it's called sheretz ha'oif, he would be subject to six lashings. So why not say that the pasuk that we cited in answer number 4, namely, or more specifically, the expression lo ye ochel, is not coming to teach me about the isur hanor, the prohibition of benefiting from other isurim in the Torah, but rather it's simply to tell me that one who eats kodshim that became tamei is going to be chayev an additional lav, an additional negative command, initial set, meaning an additional set of malchus. Omar lay, so he answers, this is Rav Ashi answering Ravina, Kol hecho de'iko le'midrash darshinon. Wherever there's an option or an opportunity to explain it in a more, in a specific fashion, we will opt for that. Velo mukminon belavi yaseri, and not have it set up as being a source for an additional set of malkos. In other words, when you have no choice or no option as to what to do with the, with that particular source, other than saying it will account for an additional set of malchus, so then we'll conclude thusly. However, if you have an opportunity to expound on that pasuk and apply it to something else, that is what we would prefer doing, as we've done now. The Gemara continues, and we continue with a quote from the pasuk in that we actually were just focusing on Perek. It's in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yutes. However, we're going to be focusing on another part of the Pasuk, in other words, emphasis on another part of the Pasuk. Here, we're asking on the ratio of the Pasuk. That's why we dashed underline the word Vahabosor. It says in the Pasuk, Vahabosor asher yiga b'chol tome lo ye'ocheel de reshe de kro loma li. What do I need the word v'habosor for? The Rashi says v'habosor lamali hashto the amris kro lav legufei also elole imenu inyan. Now that we've established that the posuk is not really needed for itself, but it's to be applied to something else, namely the Easter, the realm of Easter Hanoah. Tenach v'asher yiga b'chol tome lo ye'ochel. So I understand that part of the pasuk. V'habosor lomali, what do I need the beginning of the pasuk for? Umeshani, and the Gemara will answer, l'rabo zeitzim levona l'kabel tumef agav d'lav uchlohu. So let's see this in the Gemara. So the Gemara says on the fourth line from the top, l'rabo zeitzim ulevona, to include as far as kabolas tuma, absorption of tuma, something that's a non-food item. This is a very unusual situation, but we are saying that the wood and the Lavona spice that's used in the sacrifices, these two elements are subject to becoming Tomei. Even though outside the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, they would not be subject to becoming Tomei because they're not vessels and they're not food. The Pasuk continues, the same Pasuk continues and says, Vahabosar, ko tohor yochal bosar. De seifa, lomali. What do I need the word Vahabosar in this pasuk? This is in the latter part of the pasuk. The word Vahabosar appears again. What do I need it for? Answer, Larabois emurim. To include the innards. Now the innards, we mentioned earlier in our shiur that the innards of sacrifices, even of the kodshim kalim, were put on the mizbeach. They were offered. People would not eat them. So what we're saying here is that the emurim are also subject to the din of tuma, or the state of being tomei. If we take a look at the Rashi, l'rabos esimurim, shim nidmu v'ochlon tor, if they became tomei and someone who was tor ate them, shiavro le mishum shnei lavin, he would be in violation of two negative commands. Number one, lav de zorus, the lav of being a zar, shi'af ha-kohen zar etzlam, even a kohen is considered a zar. A zar is, generally speaking, a non-kohen, but more accurately is someone who is a stranger to an item. Now, as far as emurim are concerned, all of humanity are strangers to them vis-a-vis eating them. They are dedicated exclusively to the Almighty on the altar. So there's a lav of zoros. That's a negative command for someone who is not relevant to it and eats them anyway. Number two, v'lav de tumas bosar. And there's also the lav, the negative command of eating meat of a sacrificial nature that became tame. So let's go back into the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Emurim mehosam nafka. I don't need this part of the pasuk v'habosar to include the emurim. I have another source for that. Desanya, the pasuk says v'anefesh asher toicha bosar mizevach hashlomim asher lashem, and that expression asher lashem is considered a kroy yaseira, an extra pasuk l'rabos eso emurim. So I already included emurim in the realm of tumah, in the realm of defilement and the prohibition associated therewith. The Gemara says, in truth, I need two sources that deal with a murim that became tomei. Hosam tumas haguf bekores, hocha tumas basar belav. One pasuk is referring to the person that's tomei, and he eats the emurim, where the emurim are not necessarily tame, but the person who is tame betumas haguf, that means the person's body, he himself is tame, where the pasuk says v'tum osoy olav, that would be the pasuk v'anefesh shetochal, that pasuk has in it v'tum osoy olav, so it refers to the person being tame. And hocha, the pasuk that we cited above, v'abosar kol toro yochal bosar, that is a reference to the emurim becoming tomei, and if one who is tohor eats emurim that became tomei, so that is considered a lav, a negative command without the penalty of kores. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new idea. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivne heading. The diamond appears, and we also note that there are two. There's a Roman numeral number 1 and a Roman numeral number 2. These are shnei lishonos shel Rabbi Avo, two versions of Rabbi Avo. The inyan shimush bechelev shelo kederech, regarding the use of chelev in an unusual fashion, shelo kederech achiloso and hanooso. We will see more markings as we go along in the Gemara, and we'll deal with them as we reach them. So the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochan, kol isurin shebetorah, all prohibited items in the Torah, ein loikin aleim elo derech achiloson. One will not be subject to lashing, unless they eat them, and they eat those prohibited items in the normal eating way. Lim utemai, what does this rule of Rabbi Yochanan, quoted by Rabbi Avo, what does this come to exclude? What is considered the unusual form of eating something? Omrav simi bar ashi lim ute, shim ochal chelev chai shepoter. If one would eat chelev. Now chelev is often translated as forbidden fats. There are different sections and membranes within an animal that are forbidden based on exactly which sections and where they are. You need to have a tradition in order to identify them, but we'll just talk about the general prohibition of chelev. There is a prohibition. One who eats chelev in a normal way, if he would, let's say, roast the meat with the chelev attached to it, he would be guilty of a kores offense. It's a very severe type of sin. However, and that's what our Gemara points out, that if one were to eat raw chelev, he would be exempt, because that's considered shelo kederech achiloso. We continue in the Gemara, and we've already seen the triangle. The triangle is used to highlight the expression limuti, in other words, what is excluded by virtue of the rule that is being taught. For what is there an exemption? We continue in the Gemara, Ikot Yamri, Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, another version of Rabbi Yochanan's din, as is brought by Rabbi Avo, Kol Isurin Shebetorah, Ein Lokin Aleim Elo Derech Ha No Osan. All prohibited items in the Torah, one will not be subject to lashing unless he benefits from them in their normal way. Lim utei mai, what would be excluded? Amar of simi barashi lim utei she'im heinia chelev shel shor haniskal agavi makoso shu poter v'kol shekein oichel chelev chai shehu poter. He gives us two examples of being ne'eneh in an unusual way. So what are the examples? The second example we already saw, that's eating raw chalev, so he would be exempt. And the first example that he gives us is, if one were to take the chalev of a shor niskal. Now, a shor niskal, as we've learned in previous sugyas, is an ox, or it's really any animal, that is guilty of a capital offense and it needs to be stoned. Such an animal is forbidden to benefit from it. A shor niskal is osur behanah. So let's say someone violated and gained hanor from the shor haniskal, so he is violating a Torah law. So what we're telling you here is that if someone took the chalev, the fats of a shor haniskal, and placed the chalev of a shor haniskal on his wound, this is unusual. The normal way of benefiting from chalev, Rashi says, is either through roasting chalev, or by using chalev as an ingredient for smearing on skins. But it's not used as a medication, as a form for its therapeutic value. So if one does use the chalev of the shor haniskal for something therapeutic, which is not the normal use of chalev, he will not be subject to malkos. Let us continue in the Gemara. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Acha Bar Avya, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. And we're using this crown shape simply to show the repetition of this particular halacha. Henia chelev shel shor haniskal agavi makoso poter. One who were to place the chelev of the stoned of the ox subject to stoning on his wound, he would be exempt. The fishikoli surin shabatora ein loikin aleim elo derech hanosan. Because as far as the subject, the penalty of lashings for benefiting from that which is forbidden, that is so only if one benefits from them in their normal way. That's derech hanosan. Omar Rabbi Zera af anan nami tanina. Now, Rabbi Zera makes a point, and it lasts a couple of lines. And then, after we see this point, as you can see, we have a long point marking. Then Abaye reacts to it with his attempt to reject this point. So, what does Rabbi Zera say? He says, "Omar Rabbi Zera, af anan nami tanina." We have a Tanaic source to a Mishnah that backs up this teaching, namely that all the Yisurim of Torah ain't lokan aleim elo derech hanosan. Now, what's the Tanaic source? Truth is, it's not in the words of the source, but it's from an inference drawn from the source that Rabbi Zera sees a support for the halacha. What does it say? Ein soifkin es arboim. This expression soifkin es arboim means their lashes, the penalty of lashing. So there's no penalty of lashing mishum orlo. Elo al hayotzi min azesim umin huanovim bilvad. Now, orlo is the prohibition of benefiting from fruits of trees during their first 3 years. And we've used a special marking, this volcano shape, to highlight the expressions orlo and later kilei hakerem in the context of our sugya with regard to being nehene from them, benefiting from them in an unusual way. So this source teaches us that there's no malchus, there's no lashing for benefiting from orla, other than the benefit of orla of that which comes forth from olives and from grapes. We continue, v'ilu mitutim te'enim v'rimoinim loy. But benefiting from that which comes forth from yotzei min means that which comes forth from these other kinds of fruits, tutim, some type of vegetation, and ta'anim are often translated as figs, rimonim as pomegranates. There, if you benefit from the yotzei mehen, there will not be any lashing. My time, why not? Lav mishum delo ka'ochil luhu derech hanoson. Is it so because you're not benefiting from them in their normal way? In other words, when it comes to zeisim, olives, and anovim, which are grapes, the juices that come forth from them, olive oil and wine, that's the normal way of benefiting from zeisim and anovim. But when it comes to these other things, tutim, tainim, rimonim, that's not their normal way of consumption. So does this not show you the very point that we said above? Because when you're benefiting from something, shelo kederach hanoson, so you are exempt. That's Rebbe Zeiro's point. And how does he see it? Again, it's from the inference from this Tanaic source. Omar le Abaye. Abaye reacts. And he disregards Rebbe Zeiro's support. He says, Bishlamo yesh minen pri gufo delo ka ochele derech hanoso shapir. Had the source taught us about consuming the fruit itself in an unusual way, and you would be exempt, fine. Then you would have proof. And the example given would be, if you had the source teaching me, one who cooks up nuts. No one cooks nuts. Nuts you eat either raw or you eat them roasted, but not cooked nuts. And if I had the source telling me that one who would cook orla nuts, he would be exempt, so that would prove the point from a source that ain lokin al kol yisun shebatar ela derech hanoson. However, elohacha, in this source, and that which we inferred from it regarding the tutim tainim rimonim, mishum dezeal bi'almahu. It's not because his exemption isn't based on his benefiting from it in an unusual way, but rather because that which he used was of so little significance. The term zeal bi'alma literally means it's the sweat of the fruits. But basically this means that juices that come forth from fruits do not have the status of the fruit itself. That's considered as if it's simple water. That being the case, you haven't violated the Torah's prohibition of orla with regard to these other things, because all you consumed from them was their juice, which is termed to be like mere water. That's the basis of the exemption, but not because of benefit shelo kederech hanoson. So Abaye rejects the attempted proof that Rebbe Zeiro tried to bring to the above-mentioned halacha. Omar Abaye, akol moedim bekilei hakerim sheloikin alehen afilu shelo kederech hanoson. Here is a new point. It fits into the general sugya, that's why we have another volcano marking. But here we're going to talk about the benefit in an unusual way from Kilei HaKerem. So what are Kilei HaKerem? This is a situation where you grow grains in a vineyard. Those grains are Osir Behano. It's called Kilei HaKerem. And we should note, by way of structure, on the side of the Gemara we have encircled the term Kilei HaKerem and Abaye. So in effect, what we have here, notice it's a very long marking. It takes in quite a discussion, and in fact it continues down a considerable distance on Chof Hei Omid Aleph. So bear in mind that Abaye is going to make a point. The Gemara is going to challenge Abaye, and the challenge itself is featured in our markings by a very long question. So it's going to be a function here of keeping things straight as we go on in the Gemara. So we have Abaye making a point concerning the Kilei HaKerem, the Gemara raising a question on Abaye, and then Abaye responding to that. Abaye's response would then in effect be reasserting his position. And then we're going to try to understand the position of he who was challenging Abaye in the first place. You will notice that the Gemara continues with what we call a back and forth type discussion. So hopefully the general structure is clear. Now the details. So Abaye says that everyone will concede in the case of Kiliat Kerem that one will be subject to Malkus even if one benefits from them in an unusual way. My taima. Why is that? Mishum delok sivbu achila, because in the realm of Kiliat Kerem, the Torah does not use the word eating. It doesn't say thou shalt not eat the Kiliat Kerem. If it used the word eating, so eating represents a normal way of benefiting from something, but it doesn't say that. Rashi quotes the pasuk, four lines from the bottom, Kiliat Kerem ksiv pen tigdash hamleya demashma lo sehenem imenu, don't benefit from it, ela tisrufenu. And the word pen equals lav hu. That means it's a negative command. The Gemara now asks, Meisvei, we raise a Tanaic source. So let's make it very clear that the kasha is not going to be immediately apparent as we go through the source. The question will develop after we learn the source. We'll then bring in more information, and we'll say that if Abaye was correct, so the things wouldn't have developed as they did in the course of the logic in the source. So what do we have to do? Right now, let us focus on the information in the source. And then we'll try to tie Abaye's din together with the information in the source and then bring out the problem. So let's continue now. Meisvei. This is a Kashan Abaye, and it says in the source, Isi Ben Yud, and we have on the side, by the way, a Tatnose. This is a subtopic. Mokor the Isir Hano Miboser B'chol of the source for the prohibition of not only eating, but of benefiting from milk and meat. When we speak about milk and meat, it's the Torah's prohibition of cooking meat and milk together. And if one does so, that product, that meat-milk product, is Osir Behano. So, Isi Ben Yuda Omer, Minayin LeBosir B'cholov Shu Osir, from where do I know that Bosir B'cholov is forbidden? So, Ne'emar Kan, it says, by Bosir B'cholov, it says, Ki Am Kodosh Ato. And, by the way, many of you, if I would almost like to feel everyone who's listening to this shiur knows that a Jew is forbidden in eating milk and meat together. Certainly cooked meat and milk together is a Torah-level prohibition. Surprisingly, the Torah does not say that it's forbidden to eat it. It doesn't say lo sochal boser b'cholav. The Torah mentions the prohibition of boser b'cholav in a cooking fashion. It says lo sevasho gidi b'chalev imo, and it says that three times in the Torah. So if you're let's say a scriptural individual, someone who does not believe in the oral tradition, so you will be hard pressed to find a prohibition of eating meat and milk together. So this is quite a legitimate question. From where do we know that it is osir b'achila, that you cannot eat cooked meat and milk that were cooked together? So the answer is ne'emar kan. It says in the context of bosir b'cholov, ki am kodosh ato, v'ne'emar lahalon. It says in the context of a trefa, an animal that has some type of organ deficiency and is rendered unfit for eating as a result of that, and we call that a trefa. It says v'anshe kodesh tiyun li u'boser b'soda trefa lo sochelu. So in the case of trefa, there's an explicit reference to the prohibition of eating it, and we say ma lahalon oser af kan oser, just like over there where the term anshe kodesh appears, Kodesh appears in the case of trefa and it's forbidden, so too in boser b'cholav we also find the term kodesh. It too is understood to be forbidden. That suffices for teaching me the prohibition of eating. How about the source for Bosar B'cholov being forbidden to even benefit from. Where do you know that from? Well, Amris Kal Vachomer. Use Kal Vachomer logic. Uma Orlo. Now, in our markings, you'll notice that we've used a double underline, and this marking continues to the top of Chof Hei Omed Aleph, where we're going to be double underlining the different elements that figure in this particular limud, this Kal Vachomer limud. What does it say? Uma Orlo Shalonev Dabo Avera Sur Bahano. Mind you, Orlo, where no sin has been committed. Orlo is simply a tree that you planted quite legitimately, and over the course of the first 3 years, you're not allowed to benefit from its fruits. So no sin was done with regard to the Orlo, yet it's Osir Bahano. Orlo is forbidden to derive any benefit from it, from the fruits. Bosir Becholov Shinevda Bo Avira. Meat and milk, which were illegally cooked together, a sin was committed in creating the Bosir Becholov. Einodin She Osir Bahano. Certainly, it stands to reason, it certainly should be Osir to benefit from it. However, the Gemara continues at the top of Chof Hei Amud Aleph with a pircha, an undoing of that Kal Vachomer logic. And it says, Ma La'orla Shekein Lo Hoysa Lo Shas HaKosher. You can't derive the Isser Hano from Orla, which has a more severe side to it. It is something that never experienced a moment of permission, of allowance. That's Shas HaKosher. It was never kosher. The first 3 years, the Orla fruits were osir. Should you say the same thing? Toimer v'basar b'cholav shosel or shas hakosher? Should you say the same thing with regard to meat and milk? Listen, when you put the meat and milk in the pot together before it was hot, before it was boiled up, each element was mutter. It becomes also forbidden only when they're cooked together, but prior to that, they were mutter. So maybe Basar B'cholov is mutter Bahano. How do I know that Basar B'cholov is Osir Bahano? I can't learn it from Orla. Orla has this more severe side to it as not having a Shas HaKosher. So the Gemara answers, Chomets B'Pesach Yochich. Let the case of Chomets on Pesach prove the Isser Hano by Basar B'cholov. Shehoya lo Shas HaKosher. Chometz before Pesach was something that was allowed, and yet when Pesach comes, V'Osir B'Hano, it is forbidden to benefit from it. So too, Basar B'cholov, which had a Shas HaKosher, nevertheless, it is something that will be Osir to benefit from. The Gemara says, well, even that is not sufficient. You can't learn from Chometz for Pesach. The reason Chometz does Osir B'Hano, it has a more severe side to it. Ma'alu Chometz for Pesach, shekein onush kores. Chometz for Pesach has this additional extreme severity in so far as anyone who eats Chometz on Pesach, one who eats bread or on Pesach, he will be chayev kores. Tomar b'basar b'cholav she'enu onush kores. Should you say the same thing by basar b'cholav to make it like Chometz for Pesach that's Osir B'Hano? When Basar B'cholov, though it's forbidden, it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. So how do I know that Basar B'cholov is Osir B'Hano? Well, kilei hakerem yochichu. The grains grown in a vineyard shall prove the point. She'ein onush kores. They are not, one who, let's say, eats kilei hakerem does not find himself guilty of a kores penalty, and yet the Osir B'Hano. So too the Basar B'cholov, which doesn't carry with it a kores penalty, is likewise Osir B'Hano. And now the question on Abaye comes to a climax. V'im Esau, if Abaye is correct in his din. Now, what was Abaye's din? So Abaye told us that everyone agrees that kilei kerem is a severe form of prohibition that one will be chayav malchus even shelo kederech hanaosoi. So the v'im Esau, if Abaye is correct, nifroch, why not undo the logic featured in the source, namely using kilei hakerem as a basis for an Isser Hanoah by Basar B'cholov by simply saying, Ma l'kilei hakerem, how can you learn Basar B'cholov from kilei hakerem, shekein loikin alehen afilu shelo kederech hanaosan? According to Abaye, you would be subject to Malkus if you were to benefit from the Kiyah Kerem even in an unusual way. Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't. This source is happy using Kilei Kerem as a basis for Basar B'chalav. So it must be that Kilei Kerem does not have this additional severity to it, and that Kilei Kerem, one will be guilty of using it only if he uses it in a normal way. And that's the question on Abaye. Abaye responds. He says that this source uses Kilei Kerem as a basis for Basar B'chalav, and he will tell you that Kilei Kerem in fact is prohibited only Shelo Kederech, is one will be guilty even Shelo Kederech Hana'ah, so even if he uses it in an unusual way, because in fact that is the same thing with regard to Basar B'chalav. You see, by Basar B'chalav, the Torah does not use the term Achila. And because the term Achila is absent from the case of Basar B'chalav, we can understand that Basar B'chalav is forbidden even Shaloi Kederech Hana'aso. So that Kilei HaKerem has this strict element to it, that it's forbidden even Shelo Kederech Hana'aso, but the same thing is true with regard to Basar B'chalav. And that's why Kilei HaKerem is a good source for the Isra Hana'ah by Basar B'chalav. And that's what the Gemara now says. Ve'abaye, his response to the questioner, Toimar B'mai. This is the standard term, and we had this in the source a few times where the pircha was raised. If you look back in the source, for example, we have a dashed underlined sections, which is where the undoing of the logic of the Kal V'chomer was stated, and as part of the structure or the language of that undoing, it says mal, and on the top line, for example, it said malo orlo shekein lo oisa lo shasa kosher. How can you learn from orlo that never had a shasa kosher? Tomar babosa. Notice the word tomar. Tomar babosa hov. Should you say the same thing by basar b'chalav, which is what we're trying to prove? So Abaye says, if you were trying to do that exercise with regard to Kilei HaKerem, once we say that Kilei HaKerem, like I say, one is guilty even Shelo Kederech Hana'aso Tomar B'mai, what should I contrast that with? Tomar B'basar B'chalav She'ein Lokin Olav Elo Derech Hana'aso? Should you try to undo the logic by saying that only Kilei HaKerem, one is guilty Shelo Kederech Hana'aso, but not so with regard to Basar B'chalav, because by Basar B'chalav there is Malkus only if you use it in the normal way? That's not true. Because in fact, Basar B'chalav is just like the Kilei HaKerem. They are both guilty, even Sheloi Kederech Hana'asoi. Otu B'basar B'chalav Achila Ksiva Be? Abaye continues, does it say achila in the context of Basar B'chalav? We mentioned earlier, the Torah doesn't say there's a prohibition of eating Basar B'chalav. The Torah says, three times it says, lo seva she'el gedi b'chalev imo. But it doesn't say anything about the Isur, the prohibition of eating. And because the word achila is absent by Basar B'chalav, we know that it is considered forbidden, even sheloi kederech hana'asoi. Ve'idach, the commoisive law, the other one, the one who asked, who tried to challenge Abaye, Sovar, he is of the opinion, Lahochi kagomar mi nevela. The word nevela, Rashi points out, is lav dafka. It is a reference here to trefa. It is for this reason that we learned Basar B'chalav from trefa. Ma nevela derech hana'aso, af Basar B'chalav derech hana'aso. Just like nevela is prohibited, or trefa is prohibited, only in, from the Torah standpoint, only in its normal way, so to Basar B'chalav is prohibited only in its normal way. So as far as this Makshan is concerned, Makshan is the one who was raising his question on Abaye. He looks at the source and says, Kilei HaKerem, as the source says, can serve as a basis for the Isur Hano of Bosar B'cholov, in so far as Kilei HaKerem does not carry with it an Oynish of Kores, just like Bosar B'cholov doesn't have an Oynish of Kores, and both are Osir Bano. And the conclusion of Bosar B'cholov drawn from Kilei HaKerem is not undone by virtue of the fact that Kilei HaKerem has a stringency to it of Chayav even Shaloka Derech HaNasan. And that is the point that the Makshin is making as a challenge to Abaye. The source does not undo the comparison. Abaye, on the other hand, as we saw, says that it couldn't have used the element of Shelo Kederech HaNa'osan as an undoing of the logic, because in fact Bosar B'cholov is also Chayav Shelo Kederech HaNa'osan, just like Kilei HaKerem. We continue in the Gemara. Ve'abaye lahochi lo kosav achila begufoi. It's for this reason that achila was not mentioned in the topic of Bosar B'cholov itself. It's true that the Isser achila of Bosar B'cholov may be derived from Nevela, and it's true that Nevela might be Osir only Derech HaNoso, but that's not going to have an influence on Bosar B'cholov. And the reason for that is because Abaye says the Torah does not write achila in the context of Bosar B'cholov to serve as a sign that Bosar B'cholov goes beyond Nevela, in so far as Bosar B'cholov is also not only in eating, but it's also usur in benefiting from it shelo kederech hanosoi. And we'll read that line again. Va'abaye lahochi lo kosav achila begufo lomar, to teach me, sheloikin a love, one would be subject to malchus for the benefiting from bosar b'cholov afilu sheloi kederech hanoso, even in an unusual way. We have a little note on the side where there's a star, and it reads sikum shitas Abaye. Abaye, a summary of Abaye shitas hanene mi kilei HaKerem u'bosar b'cholov. The Gemara asks, the Lifroich, why not, still, when you go back to the source that said, learn Bosar B'cholov from Kilei HaKerem, why not raise the following challenge? The Lifroich Malo Kilei HaKerem Shekein Lo Hoiso Lo Shas HaKosher. Kilei HaKerem is more severe than Bosar B'cholov, insofar as Kilei HaKerem did not have a point in time that it was allowed. Now, the assumption in raising this is that Kilei HaKerem, what is forbidden, is that which grew in the vineyard. In other words, that which grew before it was in the vineyard would be mutter, and the subsequent growth is forbidden. So, regarding the subsequent growth, it was always usur. It never had a shas hakosher. Well, it doesn't say that in the source, though. In other words, the source left Kilei HaKerem as it is, as a source for Bosar B'cholov. So, Omer of Ado Bar Ava, Zoso Meres, this shows us from the fact that the source does learn from Kilei HaKerem, it must be that Kilei HaKerem has the same characteristic as Bosar B'cholov, and that is Kilei HaKerem ikoron ne'esorin hoyol v'hoysa lohen shas hakosher koidim hashrosha. In other words, the original part of the plant, before it started to take root, it was mutter, just like the meat and milk that were sitting in the pot before it was boiled up. They were mutter. When it takes root, so then everything, even that which was there before it took root, everything now becomes usur. That's what this term means, Ikoron Nesar, and the original growth, the original plant that was there before the rooting, it too now becomes Osir. So it's very parallel to the Bosor B'cholov scenario. And that's why in the source we were able to learn from Kilei HaKerem. Well, Mosiv Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya raises an objection. He says, we have a source, Hamavir Otzitz Nokav B'Kerem, one who carries a flower pot with a hole in it. And in this flower pot there is growing, let us say, some grains. Im Hoysif Mosayim Osir. When does the Kilei HaKerem prohibition set in? If there is additional growth of the grain of 1/200th of that which was there before, if it increases in size 1/200th, then it becomes osir. And we say hoisif in, lo hoisif lo. Only if there's this increase of growth, that's when it becomes osir, but not by its merely taking root. The Gemara answers, Omar Rava Trei Kroi Ksibi. There really are two psukim that are cited, or two terms that are cited with respect to Kilei HaKerem. Ksiv Hazera uksiv Hamaleo. Hoketzat. What do we make of these two terms? Zorua Meikoro Bahashrosha. If you have something that was planted, some grains that were planted initially in a vineyard, when do they become usur? That's Bahashrosha, through their rooting. Zorua Uba, if you have something that was planted outside the vineyard and then carried into the vineyard, Hoisif in, if there is an additional growth of at least 1/200th of the original plant, in, then it becomes osir, as Kilei HaKerem, loy hoisif lo, if it doesn't increase that amount, so it does not become osir. So the two situations are correct. There's rooting, and there is increase in growth, and they represent two different scenarios. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and the note on the side where you see the double star, Achrea Sograim Hagmor Choseres Lodun Boorlo, the Ode Klolim Beisure Hanoa Regilim. After the brackets, the Gemara, which you will see is a considerable way down, Chof Hey Omid Beis, the Gemara will go back to the topic of Orlo and Kilei HaKerem. Besocha Sograim Hagmor Mavios Sugyas Yehoreg Val Yavor Hakshur L'Gmor Shalonu Bazeh Shehem Gam Kein Isurei Hanoah. Within the brackets there is a discussion concerning mitzvos for which one must give up his life, and that will tie into the topic of Isurei Hanoah, as we will see in Mirtzah Hashem. This is at this point you'll notice we've spilled over our Daf Yomi quota, so to speak, but we had to complete the trend of thought, as was hopefully quite obvious. So before we sign off, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.